My grandma fell off of the rooftop. Oh, granny, you've got some bad luck. But oh, what she said when she fell on her head. She yelled out an ear-splitting, follow Jesus, have faith in the Lord, praise his name and receive your reward.
Okay, Pickle Dickle Salad, this is me and Bradley, and we're going to check out some chat roulette and see what percentage of the people are showing penises. Sounds gay, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just me and you in here with no chicks.
Yeah, lots of lube.
All right, so I'm going to do a color commentary here.
Okay.
Your cam's not on, right?
I can turn.
I think we should do... We shouldn't count duds, so it should be actual people. So if the cam is black right, or you don't see anything, so we'll do
okay
out of 10.
So Chat Roulette is this site where it randomly gives you access to other people's webcams, like all over the world. And guys seem to like to put their penises on here.
Yeah, they just hang out for hours with their wieners out on their camera.
It's so ridiculous.
But when it, a few years ago, when it wasn't as popular, it wasn't, the ratio of penises wasn't that bad. And we actually set up my dog looking at the cam, and we were tempting her with a ball over by where the camera is. So when people would randomly log on and see the dog, we'd type like woof, you know. And she was just intently looking at the ball, and we would shake her head up and down, left and right. And it looked like she was reading. We would move the ball slowly left to right, and she would be reading the page. And people were like tripped out by it. It was pretty funny.
There were these like three teenage boys on here last night. and I'm like doing this, like, and they click on there, like, dude, you fucking retarded. And I'm like, one dude's like all G'd out. I was like, nice shirt, fag. Okay, here we go. The first one. Oh! All
right, number one, that was a weird.
Oh, God.
Number two is a hottie. Well, it's going pretty fast. Uh-huh. So that's three. That was some random dude in Japan.
There was a black dude.
Random dude in Germany. That's four.
Five.
Random dude in Portugal.
Six
Portugal. Oh.
Somebody looks like they're sleeping or dead in Syria.
Dead person in Syria.
Whoa, what's that?
Whoa. Look, they're doing crazy stuff.
They're drawing.
Screen.
What are they drawing with?
I don't know, man.
This is like a tool video.
He's drawing the DNA for the AIDS virus or something.
Jeez. Okay, next.
That was seven?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Connected to somebody, it says, but it doesn't say anything else. Mm-hmm.
Let's restart. Three more to go.
Spain, that's black. We don't count that one. Italy, that's a penis. That's two out of eight.
Nine.
Nine.
And ten. A naked Asian guy. State. That's kind of like a half. Okay, so out of 10 people, two guys had their wieners out.
Right.
I mean, like... Do you really, like, I don't understand.
I guarantee you, I mean, like, it's a relative to percentage ratio, no matter how many you do, but I feel like if you did, like, 100, there'd be even higher.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know.
I bet they're like, hoping for some girl to, like, click on there and, like, enjoy looking at their penis.
I don't know. Like, when I think about my own life and how busy I usually am, granted, right now I've taken time out of my day to do ridiculous shit, like, look at Chat Roulette and record us talking about it, but for the most part, like, do you have... 3-4 hours to sit around with your wang out on the camera.
Hang out with your wang out.
Yeah, you have to figure, like, these dudes are looking for love in all the wrong places or something. Like,
yeah,
some hot chick's just going to randomly come up and say, oh my God, I love your penis. Would you like to marry me?
It's like, dude, just put that thing away and go do something with yourself.
Or at least trim your pubescent region.
Jesus.
That dude in Syria had some hammer time going on down there.
I think guys... think that, like, them showing themselves to women is the same as women showing themselves to guys.
Yeah.
Because most women just think that you look ridiculous naked.
Yeah.
And I do, too.
Well, most women view, like, the penis as a necessity and not really something beautiful to look
at.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas we see a naked body of a woman, we're like, ooh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I think you hit the nail on the head there. A lot of guys are like, oh, yeah, well, I can show myself, too.
Yeah.
Looking like Al Roker.
So,
crumply asshole and weenie.
So it's 12:48. It's Friday the 13th of July, and I'm supposed to fly out to Courtney, to see Courtney in Fort Lauderdale, old friend of ours. And so I'm thinking I need to be at the airport. Well, as late as you can take me, closest to 3:30.
Yeah, dude, I got you.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go down there and help Courtney do some electric work in his bathroom. Hopefully I can get him to talk to me on audio recording.
Tell him I said he has to.
Okay. I'll get him all greased up.
Courtney's got a story. So this thing says, Friday the 13th, keep calm, and don't go swimming, don't have sex, don't smoke, don't drink, don't go out, don't split up, don't run from the killer. If you trip, get up and run, and above all, turn on the stupid light before entering any rooms. I think that's solid advice for Friday the 13th.
But what do you do then?
I don't know. You should probably be packing.
Yeah. You're funny.
So you excited about the Florida trip?
Yeah, man. I'm thinking that we can probably work out, finish his electrical stuff in his bathroom in probably like 6 hours, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully. He's got a drywall guy, so he can knock all the walls down.
Man.
Well, not really, but, you know. So we're going to do that, and hopefully we can go to the beach.
Oh, yeah, you'll get some rec time in there. So how did that work since you just started a new job? Did you just tell them you had a previous commitment before you started?
Yeah, I mean, it feels kind of shitty, but I go in, like, the first day, I'm like, yeah.
Happy to be here, by the way.
I got to tell you, I'm going to be out these days.
Yeah.
But my foreman, this guy Dave, my direct foreman, he's, like, a big goofball, but he's, like, totally cool.
Is he going to listen to this? I know you called him a goofball.
Well, who cares? He knows he's a goofball,
okay,
too.
Good.
But he's like, we've known each other a couple of days, but he talks to me like we've known each other forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he literally, like, stopped me working multiple times talking about Fort Lauderdale. I'm like, you should go here and go here. Party till 4 a.m, man.
Get Courtney and take you to that place. Maybe he took you already. It's right by where he works. Did you ever go to where he works?
Mm-hmm.
It was, they, like, make the guacamole right at the table. It's like this Mexican joint.
At the table?
Yeah, they, like, have a cart, and they come out with this big, huge thing and, like, mix it up right there. Tell them to take you there, dude. It was ridiculous.
Because we went to one place. It was like a Chipotle or whatever.
Can't remember the name of it.
I like some more crepes.
We had a good trip when we went down there because, you remember that? I had a work trip in Sunrise, Florida, which is close to Fort Lauderdale. It's not too far away. But it also fell on our one-year anniversary, so it was kind of like bad timing, but I made the best out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I called our travel booking people, and I was like, look, it's my anniversary. I want to get my wife. They're like, well, you know, just pay for her plane ticket, and we'll pay for everything else.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, awesome.
That's cool.
So we drove down to Orlando, which is like a 3.5-4-hour drive. Went to Harry Potter place, hung out with Courtney like 3 nights. It was good. Good times.
Courtney's funny, dude.
I love that guy.
I'm thinking that Chantal is back. She was in Switzerland for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of energy.
I like her.
She's wild.
Dude. I like her dog, too.
Oh, yeah. What did Courtney name him? Scooter?
Scooter.
Yeah. It's fucking funny.
This iced coffee is getting my gears going inside, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, dude. I was trying to get a hold of that kid, Jeff Perkins, that we went to see his stand-up thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were supposed to get together on Sunday, but I was just so wiped out from a busy week of not working that we didn't meet up. But I think he did a stand-up thing Sunday at, what was it called? Some Bel Air, no, some, on York Road. It's like Topsail or something Sail. I know you've heard of it. It's like a bar grill kind of place. Mm. They were doing like open mic nights and stuff.
Is there like a, for a stand-up comedian, if that's something you're really trying to pursue, I mean, I know some people try to do it part-time or whatever, but like your buddy, I'm assuming he has a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what other options besides the comedy factor? I mean, you know how like when we were in bands and stuff, we would go,
right.
There's a gazillion bars to play shows at, but I wouldn't think it's the same for
there's
comedian
a couple.
Open mic nights.
There's a, was it called Magoobie's Joke House?
Magoobie!
Let's see, comedy in Baltimore. There's an E.
Baltimore Comedy Factory is the first place that comes up. We were just talking about funny comedy black guy comedian that we were talking about.
Just Godfrey. Now? Godfrey, yeah.
He's coming to the comedy club.
Sully's.
Next week?
No, I think it's like in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
we should
go to that.
Yeah, I just glanced at it. That, what's his name? The guy I saw in Wilmington, I think, is this weekend, I think. Tony Woods?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, like, the next one that comes up on here is the Comedy Spot, which is in Virginia.
Yeah, Arlington, yeah.
But maybe these are just the major right. players, you know. Hanover, Maryland.
Yeah. The Comedy Zone. DC Improv. That's pretty popular.
Do you ever think, like, I don't know.
McGee-ish.
I'm sure I'm biased, but not when we're being recorded. I think it's different when you and I are just having silly conversations and we crack each other up.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you could sit down and write something? It's hard, man.
I tell you what,
15-minute set or something. You know?
I would, like, go into that last show and just, like, listen to people. I'm like, dude, that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some energy about it. It's like, I'm just happy.
Yeah, and it's that balance of the actual content and the delivery mm-hmm. is so important. Like, if you hit it at the wrong spot, it doesn't have the same effect.
But I also heard, like, people talking about, you know, you got to work on it. Like, one guy on Ice House Chronicles, which is, like, Ice House's comedy club in Burbank, and basically they do podcasts, like, from the green room once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just random comedians hanging out and talking. And I think it was Bert Kreischer, he comes in. He laughs like Beaker. He's all weird. But he's like, I had this idea for this joke. And he, like, something like, he's like, I didn't get much sleep. I was up till 4 in the morning. The UPS guy woke me up. He had to get up and go to work. And he's like, I realize that it doesn't, you know, it needs something, but the idea is, I'm having sex with the UPS guy.
Right. It needs a little more explaining.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. They're like going into it before you know they're talking about him blowing the UPS guy and shit. But, yeah, man, like, there's just something about it. Did you see the thing I put on Facebook yesterday about, I probably told you before, like, if I was a comedian, somebody walked up to me and said, tell me a joke, funny guy. Did you see it?
Yeah. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. That also was my Andrew Dice Clay bit.
Yeah.
I was like, anybody can do Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. Dickory, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, dude. I heard he pretty much videotapes, like, his whole life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And his son's a comedian, too.
Did you ever watch Entourage?
I never watched it.
When he was on there, like, trying to do this show with Johnny Drama, one of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And it showed him in his apartment and his son. It was just really hilarious.
He was on Brewer Unleashed, the show on, it was XM Radio a couple years back. And there was a girl that was working on the show, and Andrew Dice Clay called in. He started talking to her. And come to find out, like, they exchanged phone numbers. And in the next week, Andrew Dice Clay called her, like, 10 times. Like, it was so pitiful. And then they had him on there talking about it.
Caught him out.
It was freaking
sad. I remember back before Howard Stern went to
Brian Regan
Satellite, and I used to listen to him on the way to work when I had, like, an hour drive to work. He was just, like, bashing. Like, they used to be friends or something, and then he started bashing Andrew Dice Clay, and then they had him on, they were arguing. It was,
really?
Yeah, it was an interesting saga for a few weeks there.
Dude, it's ridiculous. So, at the DC Improv on July the 26th, Brian Regan and Dennis Regan are going to be there. I don't know who Dennis is, but I know Brian Regan. He's pretty damn funny.
He looks funny. Look at his head.
He's the one that's talking about... He talks about the spelling bee when he's a kid, and the one kid who, like, gets out right away, you know, because he's too cool for it. They're like, spell cat. He's like, K-A-T, cat. They're like, no, Bobby, that's not right. And he walks off to his buddy. He's like, I knew there were two T's. Something ridiculous, man. But the idea of flying on Friday the 13th makes me kind of smile because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, it's Friday the 13th.
Don't do it, man.
But it's so ridiculous.
So the history of Friday the 13th, was that solely Jason, or before that was there some sort of...
I don't know.
Wicked, you know...
Let's find out.
Tie-in.
Origin of Friday the 13th.
Goes back to the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm about to be loud with my iced coffee, and I apologize, but I really want a piece of this ice.
Okay.
Oh, worth it.
According to Wikipedia, which I think anybody can edit, according to folklore, there's no written evidence of a Friday the 13th superstition before the 19th century. Several theories have been proposed. One theory states it's a modern amalgamation, which I don't know what it means, of two older superstitions. The 13 is an unlucky number, of course, and Friday is an unlucky day. I don't know, Friday is a pretty cool day, usually. Today's Friday, and it's great.
It's great.
Friday is considered an unlucky day. Records of superstition. I don't know, man.
Look, Tuesday the 13th. And then they
Spanish-speaking countries, instead of Friday, Tuesday the 13th is considered a day of bad luck. It's Tuesday. The Greeks consider Tuesday to be unlucky. Tuesday is considered to be dominated by the influence of Mars. Okay, astrology, crazy. Dude, you know I'm on this crazy kick of all this stuff, and I'm watching a couple episodes of Ancient Aliens.
You know what you should do? You should get, like, all of these different things. So, your friend that you did the podcast with, talking about all this stuff, all the stuff you've been listening to on Rogan, and all the research. Just do, like, a 25-minute timeline.
Like, breakdown of it?
Yeah, of all that stuff. I think it would be really interesting.
Yeah, because, it's a good idea.
Because I'm interested in it, but there's so many different reference points that I don't know where to, you know, get the information. So it would be cool to, like, just tie in what you know into one segment. But anyway, proceed, sorry.
But on the one, I think it's maybe the first or second episode of Ancient Aliens. I might be wrong, but they have Graham Hancock on there, the guy who we were listening to the podcast with.
Oh, yeah. Smart dude.
Ayahuasca, yeah. And he was talking about how, like, basically the pyramids and the Sphinx on the Giza Plateau, they think they're like 10,000 years old or something like that. That's what the textbook guys have said. But they found erosion from water. And basically, it didn't rain. Like, the last time it rained there was, I don't know, something like between 5 and 10,000 years ago. But what makes it seem older is that they figured out that the alignment of the pyramids and the Sphinx directly align with astrological formations that happen. I forget the term for it, but it's like every 12,500 years, the Earth slightly wobbles on its axis. And it lines up exactly with the pyramids like 12,500 years ago.
So it's saying that they positioned them based on that astrological formation, which only occurs every gazillion, whatever, thousand years.
Yeah, exactly.
So that with the with the water.
Yeah, and the John Anthony West guy, he takes it back even further to like, would be like 25,000 years ago. Because, you know, the idea is if there's this much erosion, it's probably been there, you know, a couple thousand years before that erosion started. But the point of my story is, Graham Hancock was talking about the Hoover Dam. And he said that when they completed the Hoover Dam, he's talking about how, like, in the future, if civilization ends or whatever, and there's new people trying to figure out where the Hoover Dam came from and when it was made. At the end of the building of the Hoover Dam, they set up somehow, I guess, a design that astrologically lines up with the skies on the exact completion date of the Hoover Dam.
Interesting.
So, like, in 10,000 years, they could probably figure out when it was built.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know that, man. That's wild.
I think we should do that with every major structure.
Yeah, dude.
Line it up.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting, what was the guy's name today? Graham Hancock.
Yeah.
Obviously a very brilliant dude, but I liked how he was saying, you know, they kept asking him, do you feel like you were put on this path to research these things and do all this stuff? And he was talking about his life as a series of accidents.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I feel like most people's lives are probably like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are some, like, tiger moms in Asia where they keep the kid on a path and it has to go, but it's a very interesting way of looking at things. The other thing that was interesting in that whole
I think looking at that, like, to me, you know, call it what you want, you're talking about the same thing, but I kind of look at it almost like is just letting go, and whatever your God's will is where you're led.
Yeah, you know what
I mean?
Exactly.
Same concept.
Yeah, and when he says, like, random accidents, you know, like, he was at a certain place at a certain time that made him want to investigate this one thing, and it changed the whole course of his life as far as being a journalist and writing and all that. But one thing that they mentioned in that particular podcast, which I also thought was interesting, was the fact that history as we know it is not necessarily as accurate as, you know, one would like you to believe.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
You should always, I think the point being, you should always question, and the guy made a point of, you know, you can be impressed by doctors and scholars and scientists and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes you have to kind of look at things for yourself. And that drove him into a whole, his whole look on life is to kind of question things. And I think we have to have people like that.
It's made me think recently about all the stuff that was taught in school and what that was, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, and even some...
And, like, a lot of that shit was just, like, probably incorrect.
Yeah, and even to that point...
Or not known.
Even U.S. history, you know, the school systems are part of government entities, right? So there's definitely some omitting of various things in there.
Yeah, okay. It's...
What are you looking up, Bassmaster?
Yeah, Ed Bassmaster is this prankster guy on YouTube. He's become really famous. He's freaking hilarious.
Kremel's night?
Yeah, he recently started... He's got his mother...
Oh, God. There. Okay, so for anybody, you know, our 10 people who are listening here that doesn't know this guy, what's, like, the best first video for them to look up?
The first one I ever saw was Ugly Face.
That's the one you showed me, right?
Yeah, probably.
There's Ugly Face 1 and 2, I think, and they're both really good.
Yeah.
But the basic premise of Ugly Face is that he sets up a hidden camera in, like, Home Depot or wherever, Walmart. And he goes and asks the people for help. And as in the middle of him talking, he'll kind of, like, freeze his face. And he's ridiculous. Almost like, it looks like
something. Like he's having a stroke.
Yeah, it looks like some muscular dystrophy. Like, something seriously wrong with him. And most of the people will just kind of wait for him to get done. And it's really funny. Yeah. Type in, I think if you just type in ugly face, it'll come up.
But he recently, I tried to watch it last night, but my piece of crap computer started freezing up on me.
Get him back.
He started doing, scratching his butt in public. And I also watched one he did of his mother, and she's going through Walmart, and she's got this wig on, this big black wig, and she'll, like, be by some people that are looking at products, and she'll sneeze and throw the wig off her head, and then they'll, like, look down, they'll look at her and be like, "You just dropped your wig." She's like, "Oh, that's not mine. That's not mine." And it's so funny, because, like, one guy's like, "You know it's your wig. You know it came off your head."
I think, like, one of the other videos I love by him is he wears the teeth and the sunglasses and the cowboy hat. I think it's called, like, Mumble. Like
Mumbles, yeah.
And he goes, like, to the ghetto. He's, like, handing people these pieces of paper, like, "You tell me, hey, buddy." And people will read it out loud, and they'll be like, "Crap mon stank." I don't know where that's at, man. He's like, "Crap mon stank? Okay." It's hilarious.
Yeah, basically this guy...
Does he not have to work now because of his fame and advertisements?
I think so, man.
He just makes crazy videos?
I think so.
How great is that?
Like, yeah.
That is the change of YouTube.
But yeah, man, he still spends a lot of time with his family. I'm a fan of his, or I guess a friend of his on Facebook. And, like, when the fights are on, he's got pictures of him sitting there with his kids watching the fights.
Wow, that's cool.
And he recently got a picture of him with his daughter and his daughter's friend. Like, what were they doing? Riding four-wheelers or something?
He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, man.
We can hang out with him. Mumbles and... Oh, no, that's not it.
But I think what's cool is, like, being driven to do his podcast thing, you know, and just like you've heard people talking about. Like, I've actually sat down and thought, who are maybe some important people that might have things I want to talk about with that are around that I could actually get in touch with?
Yeah, that's
you know
a
what
point.
I mean? Like not, actually being able to get in touch with
not
them.
Necessarily somebody you know, but somebody that would want to contribute to a local show or whatever.
Yeah.
Like somebody in the community or
and the ability to get in contact with people.
Let's call Stephanie Rollins Blake and tell her we need half hour. Just kidding. No, like actually interesting people.
I saw some people were on Facebook talking about the local radio station, 98 Rock. They have a morning show, and they were, from what I understand, they were bashing the firemen in Baltimore, saying that they were, I don't know, like losers or
what?
Fucking douchebags or something. And everybody was like, fuck 98 Rock and all this. You haven't heard anything about that? Yeah, I don't know. It seemed pretty fucked up, because basically they were saying that
they were getting paid
too much. No, I just saw a lot of people post about it, like a whole lot. But
From the band days, I know Matt Davis that works there. He's a DJ, and he does like Noise in the Basement and all that stuff. And through work, I've been to the, like, 98 Rock is also in the state, in the building with, is it WBAL or?
Was it in Towson?
Yeah. It's on TV Hill. Yeah. So I've gotten to, like, go there and see, we've had some segments on the air. Not me on the air, but I was kind of behind the scenes. It's very interesting to see, but I know some folks up in there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so, it looks like the job I'm on now is going to last maybe 3 more weeks. It's like another end of the job kind of deal.
Lucky it came on so quick. But how are you thinking about how does knowing that you're back at work in these long days, how are you relating that to your drive to do a podcast? And do you worry about it? Do you think you're just going to do it when you can or not trying to make it such a task?
Like,
or a chore?
Honestly, like, initially I thought about it and I would like, I was off work all last week, and I finally told myself that I was going to start trying to do this because I've wanted to for a long time and just never done it. And a couple mornings I would wake up and I would think about working on podcasts and things like that. And my initial feeling was overwhelmed, so much work, you know, and all this. But then I started getting to the place where I'm doing it for fun. And there's the only stress I'm having is the stress I'm putting on myself.
Yeah, your own mind.
But I'm also finding myself fucking driven to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, and I think it's like the social aspect of it, but it's really cool, man. Because, I mean, like, you know, I've been busy doing other things, but still inside I'm like, man, I need to talk to somebody else.
Now, obviously, you had been listening to podcasts for a while now, a lot of podcasts, and I'm not into podcasts. I mean, like, you'll throw something on to my speakers when you come over, or you'll show me things here and there, but if I'm, you know, my downtime or laying around or whatever,
right,
I'm either reading or on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
I don't get into them. Not that I couldn't get into
the
them.
The only time I do them, which is a lot of time, is driving or
you had
work
that long drive to work for a while.
I mean, I've gotten where I listen to them more now, like if I'm shaving or something, But yeah, it's usually time that can be occupied.
Well, what made you, what turn in your brain, I guess, that made you want to do it after listening to so many? Was it just like the feeling that you got from it and thought that you can maybe evolve your podcast to a point where you have, like, you know, distinguished guests other than me and, you know, things like that? When did it click for you, I guess?
Well, honestly, the things I've been listening to, I've seen, like, a community develop of people, like literally. And it's just, I guess it's like the need for socialization, the ability to like just sit down and talk with somebody in this setting. You know, sometimes you can get more in depth about real life, you know, and sometimes it's interesting to actually listen to. And I think it's just making a connection with people. And it's still, like, awkward in a way, but at the same time, the only pressure I have is the pressure I'm putting on myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the end of the day, you're just hanging out talking about shit.
So was it more of a gradual building up, or was it one day you were driving like, you know what, I'm going to start one of these damn things and just see what happens with it?
I think it was a gradual building up.
Yeah.
Because I know I talked to you about it a couple months ago, and you're like, yeah, that's cool. But nothing really happened. And when I was off this last week, I made a deal with myself. I'm like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't work all last week, Monday through Friday, and I was busy every day.
Yeah, I think the cool thing is you don't have to have one a week. It's whatever you set it is. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if you do get people that want to listen or want to know what the updates are, mm-hmm. you can't go 2 months without, because then people start drop off.
Right.
So it's kind of like you got to figure out what you want to make out of it.
Like on that.
You know how we are too. We're balls to the wall. Like we get into something and we drive 135,000 miles per hour towards it until we are tired of it.
It's you know, it's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of like copycat, because it's like things I've heard that I'm mimicking in a way, but I have the same feeling. Like, I started listening to the Rogan podcast because Alex turned me on to it, and listening to those guys talk about it now, they're like, this podcast was just something we started doing, and we've developed so many people around us and so many fans and just a community. And Rogan's like, I don't see myself stopping this. He's like, I feel like I'm obligated to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and I fucking love it. And you know, they don't sell the podcast. It's totally free. But you start building a base of people that enjoy, you know, just listen to you hang out, and, you know, they can give their own input, you know, through the internet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a drive to it. For me, there is. And I don't know, just see where it goes. It might not go anywhere, but it's fun to sit down and, you know, 20 years down the road, you can sit and play this and say, wow, we're pretty retarded.
Well, yeah, or it'll be a snapshot in time of what we were doing at the time or whatever. But yeah. I think it's like anything. So the first episode of, you know, me and you sitting around talking about life or whatever, you know, when I first started playing guitar, I was terrible at it. And now, 20 years later, I'm pretty decent. Yeah. So, like, you get better as you go along.
Exactly.
You may even form your own structure.
Exactly.
Like, with guests or topics or whatever.
Like, I've realized that, I don't know if it's because of, you know, torturing my brain for years with weed and beer and et cetera. But a lot of times I notice I'll go through periods of a couple of days where, like, my verbal recall, is just horrible. Or I'll also, like, totally forget something I'm about to say, which, you know, everybody can do that.
Oh, dear, I've lost my thread.
But, like, doing this and listening to it, it makes it very prevalent. But you know what? It's all good, because if I'm talking to somebody in person, it's the same as I'm talking on here. It's the looking at yourself and how you actually communicate. But with seeing the lack of communication skills or comprehension skills, it's a good growing point too.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I have to speak somewhat, you know, publicly, somewhat regularly. Publicly meaning within my own company, in front of classes or whatever. But it's good to listen to yourself. And I was telling you before, when I first started having to do that for work, I was the and you know, I would have those really long pauses, because you feel like that awkward silence. You don't want to have any time pass from the time you stop to collect your own thoughts. Right. And I've started recording myself on my phone, like in my pocket. It's different now, because this is more of a casual setting. Like, you know, I say the word like way too much, and I'm sure I'm dropping uhs and ahs.
Like, yeah,
but in a professional setting, when you're either going through a training or a PowerPoint, I've witnessed my own self develop into somewhat of a decent speaker or captivating, you know, at least to get people to pay attention, even if they didn't give a shit why they're there in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think it's good too, from that perspective, you listen to how you sound, and then you want to make changes to, you know, not that you're trying to be some radio broadcaster, but you know what I mean, to
but
be an effective.
Just in life in general too, you know, when you can get your thoughts together more clearly and express them clearly, you look, I don't know, you're more respectable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people won't think you're a goofball.
Yeah, because you can be a brilliant motherfucker in your head, but when you talk,
I've noticed recently, well, in the last couple of years, that a lot of times I'll have something in my head, like at work per se, I'll have something in my head, and I'll go to explain it to someone, and I'll just run through it, And they're like, what? I mean, you've probably done it with me a million times, I imagine.
Yeah.
But in my head, I just totally explained it down to a T.
Like, you going to make me say it again, you dumbass?
But the reality is, I think I assume that people understand certain things about what I'm talking about. And so I leave important parts out. But in my head, I'm down to a T explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's... That's really something.
Like,
to look
you don't
at.
Understand why they don't understand.
Yeah, and then like when I realized, I'm like, man, fucking retarded. Seriously, but I don't know. It's all a growing point.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're going to be kind enough to give me a ride to the airport.
I'm going to steal your car while you're going.
That's cool. To fly away and see Courtney and all that stuff. But yeah, man, let's quit this thing. It's good talking, and probably be talking to Courtney Moore, in a few days.
You guys will want to catch that. Courtney is a dynamic individual.
He is, man.
He also, apparently, to my wife's family, when he was in my wedding, he looks like Prince Charming from Shrek.
So, yeah, he does.
So there, that's your visual. You're listening to Courtney.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it.
Adios.